Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members.
Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Enviro Heating and Air, serving all brands of HVAC systems in Sonoma County and Marin County. And Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin for over 60 years. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' loss in Utah. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. At TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, not only do you get to play where the pros play, but you also get to play where Warriors play, like Klay Thompson, who hosted a tournament at TPC Harding Park over the summer.
Thompson Family Foundation Golf Tournament, that was so much fun. Shout out to TPC Harding Park for hosting us. I played great too, so that always helps. Just a fun day on the course for a great cause.
Well, Ray, during the Warriors' loss in Utah on Wednesday night, the television play-by-play announcer Bob Fitzgerald mentioned that playing the Utah Jazz is kind of like going to the dentist, where you know you have to do it, but it's not any fun. And of course, here on Thursday morning, you just went to the dentist. So does it compare to the Warriors' loss to the Jazz?
I think my visit to the dentist was way more fun than the Warriors playing in Utah, because I've got a great dentist, really friendly staff, and they hooked me up with the best, you know, dental care equipment. I go away smiling. I don't think the Warriors were going away smiling in Utah, and they hardly ever do. It's always a slog. You're at elevation. They can be a tough team defensively, and if you're struggling with issues in your offense, they kind of exacerbate that. You know, they won with a Drebko tip in the last time there. This time, no such luck. They had a ball go out of bounds and they had a chance to tie it maybe. And, you know, it's a frustrating team to play. And Quinn Snyder's a good coach. Utah should be, I think, in a better position than they are right now. But the Western Conference is so tough, everybody's beating each other up. It's never easy to play the Jazz. That's the bottom line, and they'd be a tough playoff competitor too.
Yeah, I mean, the Warriors went 1-3 against the Jazz last season, and I think you expect that, you know, somebody like Korver is going to hit a bunch of threes. He's one of the best three-point shooters in the league, and even Ingles, yeah. I mean, he's pretty good from three, but Crowder kind of surprised them with the five threes, and, you know, it just seemed like a lot of them were just falling. It's just one of those nights.
Well, yeah, Crowder can shoot the three. You know, we've seen that in the past, but here's the deal, and Steph Curry touched on this post-game, that the margin for error is a little smaller for the Warriors this year. I do believe that's true. You know, they used to be able to mask some of their deficiencies. As great as they are, they had some faults as far as turnovers and empty possessions sometimes. They'd be able to mask that with three-point shots. They were also a better defensive team a couple of years ago. They can still get to that level, I think, but they're not there yet. They're not there now, for sure. But you're seeing so many teams now that are so good at shooting threes. And the Warriors used to have that edge, right, against a lot of teams.
Yeah.
In, you know, points off of three-pointers. It's not happening anymore. Now, the Warriors are still right at the top in the NBA in three-point percentage, but there are a lot of teams out there taking more threes than the Warriors. The Warriors are the middle of the pack, I think, in attempts per game. And that's been an issue this year. You've got some of the greatest shooters that have ever walked on the planet, right, with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, and they're not up there as far as three-point attempts or three-point makes. Now, some people might say, well, they're more efficient, and so they don't have to go with volume. But you also have to ask, are they getting the ball movement they need? Are they, you know, freeing up their guys to get the right shots, to get more three-pointers? Or is it defense is doing a better job of running them off the three-point line? I think what you had in Utah was a combination. I think the Jazz were doing a pretty good job running them off the line, but the Warriors were still getting opportunities. They missed some open opportunities, and we've seen that a lot this year. I think that's one of the things, the under-the-radar things I've noticed. You know, when we've gone out to see them play or you watch them on TV, this is how high they've set the bar in terms of shooting. You expect them to make more than they make, and they make a high percentage. But it's almost like, you know, you feel like they should make more, and they probably feel like that too. They've got a few guys who are having down years from three-point range. Klay Thompson's at 34%. Draymond's barely scratching 20%. And, you know, he's 33% for his career going into this year. So, yeah, and, but on the other end, Steph is right near 50%. I think he's dropped down a little bit, down to about 48. But and he was not going to stay up there. I don't think he's – it's an incredibly high standard he set. But these guys have been so great and set the bar so high, it's hard to keep up that pace sometime. And it's been difficult for Klay this year in particular. I think he's starting to get frustrated by it. I think it's affected his shot selection. But the bottom line, and we've seen this in a few games, if they miss some shots early, they get frustrated because that's one of the things they've done so well. One of the things that's made them superior to other teams is their three-point shooting ability. But the league's caught up a little bit. And so that's why Steph said the margin for error is smaller. Having said that, they could still get it back.
We'll have more Dubs OT right after this. Dubs OT is brought to you in part by Enviro Heating and Air, licensed, experienced, and affordable HVAC contractors near you. Enviro's experienced team services all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Is your heater ready to take on the winter? Maybe it's time to warm up and save some money. Enviro is ready to do maintenance on your system to get ready for winter. They also do service and replacement with no charge for an estimate to replace. Also, with all of the rodent issues we're having lately, don't worry, Enviro does duct cleaning as well to help stop that problem. And since the EPA ranks indoor air pollution among the top 5 health risks, it's a good idea to find out what is in your ducts. Call Enviro today at 707-781-8383. That's 707-781-8383 for Enviro Heating and Air. What you talked about with the frustration, it was definitely evident with Klay Thompson because he just didn't have, you know, one of his good shooting games. He ended up with 12 points, but he was 3 for 12 from the field. He didn't hit a three-pointer. That's unusual right there. And the foul that he had near the end of the game on Mitchell, which really was a big key in the game, ended up being 3 free throws, and he made 2 of them. That was frustrating, too. I didn't think that was a foul, to be honest. I mean, he didn't touch him on the arm when he shot it. It was more like when Mitchell was landing, they kind of bumped each other, and boom, foul. Mm-hmm. That was very frustrating.
Well, yeah, and the refs are watching that. I mean, they're not watching them on the shooters on the ascent, but when they come down, because they have to now, they have to see that, you know, it's sort of the Steph Curry rule, right, that your feet are not getting in the way of the landing for a defender. So they're watching everything from the ascent to landing on the ground again, landing on the floor. And, that was a questionable one. And wouldn't seem like a player of Klay's ability and reputation on defense would get a call like that, but it happens. And there were a couple of those like that last night. The bottom line, though, for the Warriors is they had some opportunities and they didn't convert earlier in the game. And they still are not moving the ball the way they should. They had 18 assists, right? And yeah, some of that was because they missed open looks. But also, this is a team that, with regularity, was getting into the 30s, right, a couple of years ago when it came to assists. The ball movement still is not there the way it should be. I think they're still trying to figure things out. And they're trying to figure out the rotations. They just, you know, Steve Kerr just changed the rotation, right, with Steph Curry. So there's just a whole lot of different stuff, curveballs being thrown at them this year. But, you know, Joe, at the same time, they're 21-11, and I think back to 5-10 years ago and how great that would be.
Right.
I mean, we've just been totally spoiled by this team. And now it's like a sense of ennui, you know, that they're not 40-7 or something like that. Well, you know, I think that they figured out how to navigate through a long season, and you got to trust them on that. It's just the conditions are a little bit different in the league this year.
Dubs OT continues right after this.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in Sandra Fell has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. And this is a dependable family business that's been around for 61 years. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th 4th Street in San Rafael. Give him a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Canes Tire.
Since we were talking about the Warriors ball movement, here's what Warriors head coach Steve Kerr had to say about that.
We're not moving the ball. We're not playing the way we've played the last few years, where the ball's really moving and we're generating great shots. I think we're taking decent shots, not great shots. And so if you're not getting great shots, you're not going to shoot as high a percentage.
Steph Curry also talked to the media after his 32-point performance in the loss to the Jazz on Wednesday night.
Early, I thought it was decent in the first half. We got a lot of open looks, just missed some shots. Second half, it did get a little stagnant, but we saw an option, you know, with high pick and rolls and stuff like that, where me and Kay were able to create some shots and driving lanes and stuff like that. But they made some tough shots early in that fourth quarter and towards the middle. They created a little bit of separation, but we fought hard, and I liked our energy, effort on defensive end. We gave ourselves a chance to get over the hump down the stretch, but just didn't happen.
That's Steph Curry. Here's what Kevin Durant had to say after the loss in Utah.
I thought both teams played great defense. They made more threes than us. I think we got great looks all game that didn't go down for us. I thought we played extremely hard tonight. You know, against this team on the road, you know their defense is going to be tight at home, and their shell is going to be tight in the paint. But you know, you just want to take all those punches, you know, because the energy from the crowd, you know, that pushes them to another level. So I thought we did a good job of taking that punch. We got down 10 and had an opportunity to win a game.
We'll have more Dubs OT in just a moment. Dubs OT is brought to you in part by Enviro Heating and Air, licensed, experienced, and affordable HVAC contractors near you. Enviro's experienced team services all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Enviro's goal is to provide each family and business with the most energy-efficient heating and air conditioning system to fit their needs. Enviro is happy to provide a free estimate for your new energy-efficient HVAC system. Contact Enviro Heating and Air today to get an estimate and lower your monthly heating and air conditioning energy costs. Call 707-781-8383. That's 707-781-8383 for Enviro Heating and Air. It is interesting to see, you mentioned rotations, and just to see what Steve Kerr does at times in crunch time. And he had Alphonso McKinney on the floor for some important minutes there near the end of the game. And, you know, he made a really good defensive play. He had that dunk, and sometimes you look at him and say, hey, that guy can really inject some life. But he missed a three where he was wide open, and he just missed it by a lot. So there's kind of the ups and downs of that player who doesn't have a lot of experience.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're going to see some big mistakes. We've seen it already from McKinney, and you'll see some spectacular plays. But I think there's enough there to where you say, yeah, this is a guy that we want to continue to develop and work in this system, and he's going to be a pretty effective player. It's going to be touch and go for a while, and that's the problem right now because, for example, in games where you're missing, say, Iguodala and Livingston like last week, and you don't have Boogie Cousins around yet, you're leaning on these guys who are still in the developmental phase. And so that means sometimes when the star players are off the floor, the bench gets really exposed. And I think that's part of the philosophy of having, for example, Curry changed in the rotation and playing with Draymond and seeing if those minutes can kind of mask some of the deficiencies with some of the bench players. And at the same time, I think you don't want all the bench players on the court at the same time. You want them with the star players to kind of lift them up, you know, to give them confidence. So I think that's part of the thought process they're going through right now, feeling their way through this. And by the way, as they feel their way through this, they're not losing touch with the top of the Western Conference. And I still think once they get Cousins going and they figure out this rotation and guys start shooting a little better, just a basic thing like that, they're going to go on a run. I still really believe that. This team is that good. I mean, you know, you look at what they've done in the last 5 years. They're quite capable of it. So I know fans are kind of gnashing their teeth right now because, again, we're spoiled. We expect them to go out there and handle everybody every night like they have for the last 4 or 5 years. It's not happening right now, and it's kind of perplexing. But I think it's still they have it in them to get it going.
Yeah, and I agree with what Steph was saying, too, because the way teams are coming after them, I mean, they're giving their best effort. You know, the strategy is top-notch, you know, the way they're being played defensively. And, you know, you look at a guy like Gobert, who was affecting shots. And granted, the Warriors missed some easy layups in this game against mm-hmm. Utah. There were shots they should have made, but there were a lot of them that were affected by him. You know, the defense is playing harder. That's usually the deal. I mean, when you have great effort from an opponent, usually shows up at the defensive end, and that's happening.
Yep. Yeah, and I'd like to see the stat on how many blocks Gobert has and how many scares he has, right?
right.
to where you're thinking about. You're always thinking about him, and that causes some close-in misses. And that's what a great defender can do. And, you know, he's Defensive Player of the Year a couple of years ago, right? So, you know, this is a guy who can change a game when he's on. Now, you can attack that. You can go into high pick and rolls and things like that. You'd like to see a little bit more of that and spread out the floor a little bit. I'd like to see a little bit more of that involving Steph Curry. I'd like to see Steph Curry, as strange as it sounds, a little more involved. I know there's a camp that says get Kevin Durant involved more because he's been more efficient. But Steph Curry is the engine that drives this team. And so I think that's how you attack it. Get the big man out there, and then you have some opportunities near the rim. But, you know, it's funny with a player like that, as effective as he is defensively, and the wingspan he has and the floor coverage he has, even if you get him hung out to dry on a high pick and roll and you get a shot under the bucket, you're still thinking about him. Right? That's what the benefit of having a guy like that. But you can't attack it, and the Warriors have the weapons to do that. But they two things, again, last night. They missed some opportunities, and there were times where they weren't moving the ball like they should. And I think that's still an issue with this team. They're not getting quite the ball movement they'd like.
No. And, you know, the other thing is they're not getting scoring from a big man. I mean, Draymond Green is not scoring. You know, I don't expect him to score a lot anyway, but he's just not been involved as much in the offense, and you're not going to really get scoring from Looney or Jordan Bell. And there's sort of this dangling, you know, player that's, you know, maybe teasing us, and DeMarcus Cousins maybe making us think, oh, yeah, he's going to be back pretty soon. And then you keep hearing Steve Kerr saying, you know what, he's really not close. And then there's, you know, now reports saying that he might not join the Warriors until February. So this team needs to figure out how to play without a big-time, you know, all-star center until he comes, and whatever that is.
Well, they feel like at this point in their development and their stature as a franchise that they can slow play a guy like DeMarcus Cousins. If it was, well, I don't know, 5 years ago, maybe they're a little bit more in a rush, because it sounds like he's coming along pretty nicely, but we're also talking about a pretty devastating injury, and you don't want to take any chances. You want to make sure this guy's ready. You also want to make sure that he's working out and practicing enough so that he knows the offense. And I know there's some people out there who are not that optimistic. You know, they say, he's just an ISO player. Yeah, I remember talking to Rolando Blackman of the Dallas Mavericks back in the day, and he mentioned this, that people will put a label, they'll slap a label on you like Campbell's soup. And so a lot of people slap that label on a guy like DeMarcus. That way they don't have to think about him anymore. They don't have to expend the mental energy to analyze him. But he's so much more than that. We know that. He's going to get a lot of opportunities, I think, in this offense. And again, that gravity issue where they have to account for him. Or if they don't, he can hurt them. And I kind of think, like, he could fill the void left by Draymond not making his threes, because at this point they're letting Draymond open and, you know, daring him to shoot the three, and he's kind of taking that as a personal affront. But maybe in a lot of these games, DeMarcus Cousins will be left open from three. Now, you also want him under the bucket. You also want him getting rebounds and things like that, but that's another aspect of his game. He's not just an ISO player. So it's going to be interesting to see how they conceptualize using DeMarcus in this offense, and whether they can think of any new wrinkles as well, given all the talent that's on the floor. But, yeah, it sure sounds like February. And, okay, you know, I mean, if you've learned anything about the Warriors at this point, you learn they don't panic. Okay?
So no.
Fans shouldn't panic either.
Well, the Warriors now have a homestand here, and they've got back-to-back games with Dallas and the Clippers, and then, of course, the Christmas game against the Lakers, and then Portland coming in. So you've got all these Western Conference teams that are coming to Oracle Arena, and it starts with Dallas, a team that beat the Warriors in Dallas, and they have one of the best rookies, if not the best rookie in the NBA, and Luka Doncic. I mean, this kid is really exciting to watch. He's got all of these categories that he's leading the rookies. He can score, he can pass, he can rebound, he pretty much can do it all.
Yeah, I love his game. And you know, it's still developing, too. And a real confidence booster for Dallas to beat the Warriors. This was a team that was a bottom feeder for a couple of years. So, the West is so tough up, top to bottom now. And so you can't take a night off. But I think those games you mentioned are going to get the Warriors' full attention. I think this is a point where they could use as a trampoline for the rest of the year. I know we say that a lot, but I think, given the context of where they are now, they're relatively healthy. They haven't played with Cousins all season long, so it's not like they're missing him. And, he'll come onto the roster when he's ready. But this is a time, I think, especially with the national audience on Christmas Day, where I think that their focus is going to be sharpened. I would expect I think they could sweep those games. I think that they have the capability to beat all these teams. These teams are, and you mentioned it, everybody's coming at them. Everybody's giving them their best effort. They think they see an opening now, and there's so much parity in the West. How many teams are like within five games of each other?
It's just all bunched up, so unpredictable. Yeah. Compared to last year when you knew the Rockets and the Warriors were at the top and who was going to get the number one seed, but now it's just like it's all up for grabs.
Yeah. So every game is competitive. It's not like the Warriors, the Warriors are still favorites. They're not the prohibitive favorites in an individual game like they used to be. And, they used to crush teams in the third quarter. That doesn't happen quite so much this year. So there's a little more tension, a little more drama, and I don't mind that. And I think, that serves to sharpen your focus at certain times of the year where you might be in the doldrums. I think this is a point in the schedule where they can say, all right, we're going to plant our flag now. And we're going to show the league that, we are still the Warriors and we still mean business because these are quality opponents they're going to be playing, but teams that they should beat. I think that's the expectation going into that group of games you talked about, and maybe it'll be something that'll vault them into the new year.
Yeah, and that Clippers game, that used to be an easy game for the Warriors. They beat them, I think it was seven times in a row, and then they lost in overtime. We all remember what happened that game, against the Clippers. That's when the battle started up with Durant and Draymond Green. And it seems like, now that's kind of like faded into the background. I mean, I know it's always going to sort of be there a little bit, but, those guys are getting along fine. But, it just brings back that reminder that it happened in that overtime loss to the Clippers.
Yeah, it used to be the Clippers provided all the drama, right? There was always something going on with the Clippers, and the Warriors would just laugh at them. And
right.
This time, it was like the tables were turned, and everything was off kilter that night. And there was some frustration, of course, with the last possession in regulation, as we remember. And that story had legs for a while, and it's going to get legs again as the Clippers are coming to town. But it's so funny. You look at the last 5 or 6 years of this so-called rivalry. And you could do an ESPN 30 for 30 just on the Warriors versus the Clippers in the last 5 or 6 years because there's been so much going on. I mean, I did a radio interview with Draymond the day he mentioned Doc Rivers talking smack about the Warriors, and Draymond goes, "Cool story, bro," and that launched 1,000 memes. So it's just little things like that. There's always been these little jabs, and then you add Jerry West going over to the Clippers organization. And I warned people at the time, and I'm not the only one, but smart basketball people know what a great mind this guy is. And I said, the Clippers are going to greatly benefit from this guy being there. And, the Warriors probably felt like, there probably wasn't a whole lot more to gain. And Jerry West probably felt like, he was not being appreciated as much as before, needed as much as before. So he found an organization, and of course he's got a home down there in L.A. It was a real good fit for him because he could put his mark on this team, and I think you're seeing that. Very much under the radar team, the way they assembled this roster, but they're tough this year. And this has the mark of Jerry West, and they're not going away. So that adds a little more context to this little rivalry, and maybe now it really is a rivalry instead of one team just beating up on the other. It was the Clippers beating up on the Warriors, right, for years. And they beat them at the playoff series, 5 years ago. Since that time, it's been all Warriors, and now maybe shifting back to the Clippers' way.
And to finish up, you know, I'm sure we'll be analyzing this game like crazy next week when the Warriors are finished playing the Lakers. But what a great matchup for Christmas Day. I think the NBA did a great job on that one, you know, to make it the first matchup of the year between the Warriors and the Lakers and LeBron James and all that intrigue, you know, the best player in the league, basically, against the Warriors and, you know, with a new team and everything. It's there's definitely a lot of buildup for it. It's definitely exciting to see this. You know, and the Lakers, you know, they're not one of the best teams around, but I think they've kind of rallied behind LeBron, and there was question about whether or not this is, you know, kind of a building year, but they are going to be competitive, and that is going to be an intriguing game.
Well, no doubt they're better. They should have been better. They were predicted to be better. The predictions were wildly varying. I have some friends who are saying, oh, wow, the Lakers are going to challenge the Warriors for the Western title now. And I said, no, not so fast, my friend. I had to do the Lee Corso. There's still some gaps with this team. But, you know, when you have the best player on the planet the last decade, then you're going to have a chance in every game and in every series. But they come along. There's still some drama there with Luke Walton and, you know, how much he's actually coaching the team with LeBron on the floor. And I guess LeBron's asking for a little help now, which made me laugh, talking about Anthony Davis. You know, I mean,
I heard about that, yeah.
All right. You know, already we're getting this. I don't have the supporting cast around me. It's got to be just me. But it's like that's kind of the way he likes it, too. You know, he likes to be in charge. So it's a little bit of yin and yang. You know, you had Kyrie a couple of years ago. You had that was a pretty special combo, and you couldn't make that work. All right, so now you got to L.A. and you got things your way again, and I don't know. It's always something when it comes to drama with LeBron. But putting that aside, just still a transcendent player, still great, and you know that's going to be a compelling matchup. It's part of what makes the West so interesting this year when teams like the Lakers, who again were bottom feeders, and now they're pretty competitive. To me, it makes a lot more fun. Some fans aren't having fun because it's not as easy as it used to be, but I think this is something a little different, a little challenge. Like I said, it should get the Warriors' attention. It's going to be a lot of drama and a lot of emotions on Christmas Day, and I don't think the Warriors are going to be in the giving spirit.
By the way, I mean, for so many years, the Lakers just owned the Warriors. So many years.
Yeah.
I mean, the
yeah.
only bright spot I could even think of, Ray, was back in the 80s when Sleepy Floyd scored 50 in that one game against the Lakers. Other than that, I mean, it's just there were no good moments. And then, you know, the Lakers have been down in recent years. So this is a chance to, you know, to kind of spark up the rivalry. There really hasn't been a rivalry with these two teams.
I'll tell you how far back the ownage goes. And it might go back to the 60s, for crying out loud. When I was younger, I saw two games in particular that stood out. I went to a game at the Forum where the Lakers beat the Warriors 162-99. I kid you not. And this is pre-three-pointers, mind you. They just ran them off the floor. And this was the great Laker team with the 71-72 version, I believe it was.
This is Jerry West and the boys.
Yeah. And, you know, West was still very effective.
Gail Goodrich,
Gail Goodrich, Keith Erickson, Happy Hairston. So, and Wilt, you know, in his final days when he became a rebounder, passer, defender, and he's still very good at that. And I remember one play, I think it was George Johnson, had missed a wide-open dunk. And the ball went out to midcourt, and Erickson picked it up and flicked it to Jim McMillan for a layup. And he said, yeah, that summed up that game. Another game was a playoff game where the Lakers beat the Warriors 118-78. So that pretty much summed up the relationship there for a very long time, except for the year where the Warriors won the championship in 75. So this not only goes back to the recent frame of reference, this goes back like 50 years. And so, you know, it's kind of fun to see the tables turned, at least for a few years. I think it right up to the point where Kobe blew out his Achilles against Warriors. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
In L.A. And the Lakers still ended up winning that game. But soon after that, the Warriors started taking over. And we're talking about a 4 or 5 year window versus 50 years. So I think, for longtime Warriors fans and longtime people in the Warriors organization like Al Attles, this domination could stand to last a few more years.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, looking forward to talking about those upcoming games, especially that game against the Lakers. I guess I'll be talking to you after Christmas, Ray. So Merry Christmas to you and your family and everybody out there. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And, it'll be a great holiday here in the Bay Area. We're not going to get any snow, I don't think. But
no.
No white Christmas here in the San Francisco Bay Area. But it's still going to be a great one. Thanks a lot, Ray.
All right. Thank you, Joe. And again, happy holidays. Happy New Year to everyone out there and to you and your family as well.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.